Good evening, everyone. Great to see you here tonight. Let's pray as we come to think about God's word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you speak to us, that you open our eyes, that you show us Jesus. And we pray tonight you'd help us to see him as he truly is and to know what it is to respond, to listen to our King. Amen. Amen. I want to start with a question tonight. Who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? And I don't mean kind of like over the breakfast table, who do you listen to? I mean kind of who do you carry around in your kind of bag of voices, right? The kind of people that you go to for advice, the kind of people that you listen to make decisions in life. I guess we've all got different people in our bag, haven't we? So maybe you've got some authors of some books. This one was a particularly boring one, given to me for Christmas. Thank you. Maybe we listen to the radio. Any Radio 4 listeners in the house? Yeah, you're not excited enough to go woo. You just go, oh yes, of course we are. Then I guess you've got podcasters. We listen to our podcasters. Don't we get our headphones out, listen to the podcasters, or a bit of social media. We all carry around our phones, don't we? And we're kind of listening to the influencers, the people who are there with us day by day. And of course, you can't forget, oh, actually, I've got one more. The kind of the politicians and our rulers, our leaders, okay? We listen to them, I guess. But I guess one of the biggest voices in our bag might be our family. Ah. This is some of my in-laws over in West Sussex on the hills on a particularly wet and windy day. But there's someone in this picture I particularly listen to. You can't see him, but he's just here. It's me. We listen to ourselves, don't we? Often a big voice in our bag. And our culture tells us day after day, listen to you. Listen to yourself. Be true to yourself. I wonder, who's in your bag of voices? Because tonight, we're thinking about an idea that's at the core of the Christian faith. We're thinking about the idea that Jesus claims to be our King and says that we should listen to him above all else. Look at the last sentence in chapter 18, verse 37. Jesus says this in the last sentence on page 1087. He says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. If you want what's true in life, if you want what's good, then listen to Jesus, he says. And even as I say that, if I'm honest with you, I think it just sounds a bit arrogant. Yeah, Jesus, listen to this one guy. Well, in our passage tonight, God wants to show us, John, our writer, wants to show us that actually, even as Jesus goes to be executed on a cross, he is exactly the right person to listen to. As a quick reminder, as Rob said earlier, we're in our second of 3 weeks in John 18 and 19, in the last 24 hours before Jesus dies on the cross. And last week, we saw him get arrested and be tried by the Jewish authorities. And it sort of looked like it was very weak. But actually, we saw that Jesus totally chose it. He was very powerful, but he chose to die for us. And this week, the trial continues. And this time, Jesus is not in front of the Jewish leaders. He's in front of the local political ruler, Pilate. And through the backwards and forwards of this trial, of the questioning and various things, we get to see why Jesus is the one that we should listen to. Three reasons. Have the first one up. I seem to have lost the clicker. I don't know where it is. Here's the first reason. Jesus is the King of heaven. And I say King in this passage because although last week there was no mention of King or kingdom in the first half of chapter 18, in this passage, the idea of King and kingdom gets mentioned 12 times. Okay? Here are some of them. 18:33, 36, 37, 39. And then 19, 2, 3, 12, 14, 15. All referring to Jesus as king or his kingdom. It's all over the place. But what kind of king is he? Well, Pilate's trying to find out that question. In one of his kind of first interview with Jesus, Pilate turns to Jesus and sort of says, "So they call you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus sort of replies in a slightly funny way in verse 36. Kind of corrects Pilate, really. Look down at verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place." Jesus sort of saying, "Look, oh, Pilate, you're way off, matey. Not even close. King of this little group of subjugated people? No way. I am the king of another place." He's talking about being the king of heaven, the king of our entire universe. And if you're kind of, you know, feeling a bit skeptical about that, well, look back over John's gospel. I kind of don't blame you for being a bit skeptical, but look back over John's gospel, and what do you find? As we said last week, you find Jesus calming the weather, controlling it. We see him healing the sick by just touching them. We see him raising people from the dead with just a few words. Jesus wants us to know, John wants us to know that he is the King of Heaven. And you know, do you know who ruled the biggest kingdom on earth? Anyone got any idea over the whole of human history, who's ruled over the biggest kingdom? Any guesses? Genghis Khan, good idea? Not right. Anyone else? Queen Elizabeth, very close. Victoria, wrong again. Okay, let's have the picture up. King George V. You knew that was King George, right? Yeah, of course you did. King George V. In 1920, the British Empire was at its largest across the globe. 35 million square kilometres was kind of basically ruled by this guy. More than 25% of the world. But that's not even a scratch on Jesus. He's the king of all time and all space. The king of heaven. He's got the power. Which, you know, like, then you've got to compare him, right? So if we're going to listen to Jesus, I guess being the king of all universe and all time and space, the king of heaven, that's a pretty good reason to listen to him. Because compare him to some of the voices in our bag, right? You know, think about our sort of our political rulers. And I guess like George V. You know, think of, like, if we were in America, a lot of people would listen to this guy, Donald Trump. Right, probably one of the, at one point, one of the most powerful people in the world. Elected pretty much on this slogan, "Make America Great Again." And, you know, whatever you think of Donald, you know, some of the stuff on his website, what he's trying to achieve by making America great, sounds good, right? Prosperity, security, peace. But we've already seen how he got on. Is America a prosperous, secure, and peaceful place? I mean, a little bit. But not really. If he gets elected again this year, is he ultimately going to be able to change the course of history for America? No! He's powerless to do that kind of stuff. And he was one of the most powerful people in the world. What about our other voices? Our authors, our radio stations, our podcasters? Yes, they might have some great stuff to say, but do they have power like Jesus? No. Makes Jesus a really good person for us to listen to. That's the first thing. He's the King of Heaven. Secondly, the second thing we learn about Jesus is that he is innocent. See, the details of this trial want to make it really clear for us that even though by the end of the trial, Jesus is going to be carried away to go on a cross, he's going to be executed in less than 24 hours. The details shows actually he's innocent. Three times after questioning and interrogating Jesus, Pilate, this Roman ruler, he concludes with the same sentence. I don't know if you spotted it in our reading. He says three times, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Verse 18, verse 38, 19, verse 4, 19, verse 6, "I find no basis for a charge against him." He's trying to make that point that he is innocent. There's nothing that you can put a charge against him for. And actually, in fact, the Jewish leaders, they find it quite hard. Pilate at some point says, look, you know, what have you got against him? And the best they can do is 19 verse 7. Look down at 19 verse 7. This is the kind of the slight irony of what's going on here. The Jewish leaders insisted, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. But hold on a minute, that is what he is. He is the Son of God. The one charge that they have against him is the one thing he truly is as the King of heaven, as the King of the universe, as God in a man, the Son of God, the divine King. That's the worst that they can do. He really is innocent. And some of Jesus' innocence isn't just highlighted in kind of Pilate's conclusion or in this accusation of the Jews. It's actually highlighted by juxtaposing Jesus with these Jewish leaders, the guys who are supposed to be the sort of the top notch, the upright. They're the kind of the church leaders of today, the people that you're supposed to look up to. And these guys are anything but upright, and you don't want their example. Because in the passage, the Jewish leaders are the ones who are demanding Jesus' execution. They're shouting, literally shouting, for his blood. Okay, I need a bit of audience participation here. So I need you to take the part of the Jewish crowd, okay? So 19 verse 6, look it up for me. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted,
crucify.
Yeah, twice. Yeah, very good. Yeah, crucify, crucify. Or 19 verse 15, they say, take him away, take him away.
Crucify.
You did okay. You did all right. Imagine the look on their face, these guys, shouting, crucify him! They want him gone, even though he's a truly innocent man. They are far from innocent, these Jewish leaders. And they bring about Jesus' murder. 19 verse 16, finally Pilate handed over them to be crucified. Yes, Pilate's doing the handing over, but it's only because the Jewish leaders have been on and on and on and on at him. The Jewish leaders should be innocent, but they're not. Jesus is truly innocent, although he's not treated like it. Now, what about, again, go back to our bag of voices. What about the people in our bag? You know, think about the guys on radio. Ooh. Sorry, family. Think about, you know, the guys on the radio or the influencers that we scroll through each day. Sure, they might have some really great stuff to say. Sure, they might be some really nice people and do some really good stuff. But are any of them innocent? Do any of them make the right choice day after day after day? Are any of them perfect? No. What about you? You know, the top person in the picture. Are you perfect every day? No, of course we're not. We confessed earlier because we know we're not. Doesn't that make Jesus a really good person to listen to then? If we know we make mistakes, as we know that everybody else makes mistakes, and yet Jesus never makes a single one, doesn't that make him a pretty good person to listen to? See, Jesus is the King of heaven. He's innocent. And thirdly, he dies in our place. You see, if Jesus is this King of heaven and he is innocent, you've got to ask the question, like, why on earth is he doing that? Why would he be so willing? And well, the answer is the same as it was last week, that he dies in our place. And John shows us through the details, like he did last week, that this is, although it's a great miscarriage of justice, it's really deliberate on Jesus' part. See, look at verses 39 and 40 with me. Spot the swap, bit of a tongue twister, spot the swap in these verses. Verse 39, this is Pilate speaking. He says, "But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Did you spot the swap? Did you spot what was going on? See, Pilate, he's offering to release one prisoner. That's the green arrow. Red arrow equals punishment. Okay, he's offering to release one prisoner. And Pilate knows who he wants it to be. He wants it to be Jesus. Like he's been saying all the way through, "I find no basis for a charge against him. I find no basis for a charge against him." But the Jews, no, they don't want innocent Jesus. They want Barabbas. Imagine Barabbas is this cup here. Because they know that even though they know that Barabbas is absolutely guilty, follow the illustration from last week, if you were here. If not, ask someone about what on earth I'm doing. Okay, full of punishment. Okay, that's what Barabbas deserves. But they say, no. We want Barabbas to go free and we want Jesus to be killed. Spot the swap of how it should be. Jesus is innocent. There's literally nothing in his cup. He doesn't deserve any punishment. And this is all a big picture of what's going on at the cross. You see, really, it's like this. We're a bit like Barabbas. We deserve God's punishment. That's what's in the cup. And yet Jesus willingly swaps places with us and takes the punishment. So we get to go free. That's what's going on. That's why we get verses 39 and 40. John wants us to be absolutely clear about this swap, that Jesus takes the punishment that you and I deserve. Because Barabbas, he's a pretty bad man, right? He's taken up part in an uprising. He's a murderer, we know from elsewhere in the Bible. And yet Jesus swaps places with him, and he's willing to swap places with you and with me. I mean, Jesus is the King of Heaven. He's innocent. And yet he dies in our place. It's absolutely crazy, really, when you think about it, that the King of Heaven would swap places with you and me. And you could think, like, is he really the king? I mean, look at what he's doing. He's being executed as a criminal. But actually, this is his most kingly moment. Even though we might not immediately think of it that way. You know, you kind of think of kings sort of striding in horses with big swords going, aha, not dying on a criminal's cross. But do you know what makes a king a really good king? Not looking impressive. Making a really good king is the one that looks after his people, who creates salvation for them. Well, that's exactly what Jesus is doing. As he dies on the cross, that is his most kingly moment. As he secures salvation. As he cares for his people. As he gives them eternal life. It's his most kingly moment. Which again, doesn't that make Jesus the best one to follow? I mean, it doesn't matter who we are on our little, you know, in our bag of voices. I don't think there's any Radio 4 presenters. I don't think there's any authors or podcasters. I'm not even sure that many members of my family would die for me. But Jesus does. Two implications briefly for us this evening. Two implications. Firstly, see the love. See the love King Jesus has for us. As we said last week, Jesus chose to walk down this path. Okay, it wasn't a mistake, it wasn't an accident, he wasn't overpowered, he walks deliberately down this road. As Jesus said back in John 15, verse 13, have we got that coming up on a slide? Or did I never put it in the PowerPoint? 15 verse 13. John 15 verse 13? No, maybe I missed it. Sorry. He says this: greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Greater love. To lay down your life for one's friends. But think about it. You see, Jesus isn't like a, in some ways, he's not like a friend to us. He's not like a peer on the same level as you and me. Jesus is the king of the world, and yet he dies in my place. To kind of get the gravity of that, think about this, right? Believe it or not, and this may be a surprise to you, I have more than once got a speeding ticket. I know. Now imagine if I wrote a letter to King Charles III and said to him, "Dear King Charles, I got this speeding ticket, and I wonder, would you be willing to pay the fine for me and have the 3 points on my license?" I mean, imagine if he wrote back and said, "Sure, Pete, I'd love to." That'd be absolutely bonkers, wouldn't it? He would just never do that. Consider then how much more bonkers it is that Jesus, the King of the universe, would take God's anger and punishment for you. Utterly crazy, but utterly loving. The only reason he says he does it is because he loves you and me. So soak that in. Drink it in, that idea, that the King of the universe dies for you. See the love. But secondly, to come back to where we started, listen to the King. You know, 18 verse 36, again, that last sentence, Jesus says, "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Could sound a bit arrogant, couldn't it? But I wonder, is anyone more qualified than Jesus to be the one that we listen to? I mean, he's the King of heaven, truly innocent. He's got all the power. He's never done anything wrong. And he really, really cares about you. Cares about you enough that he would stoop down out of heaven to die for you. I mean, he really is better than anybody else in our bag, not least our own selves. And so I guess the invitation here is to see Jesus as our King and to listen to him. Listen to him above anybody else. As we go around with our bag, you know, you've got your family in there. Fix that frame later. We've got the radio, got your podcasters and your influencers and the books and the rulers. To take Jesus, which, where do we find him? Really, we find him in his word, the Bible. To take him with you in your bag of voices and to carry him around day by day, listening to him. And actually, to make him the biggest and most important voice in your bag, the filter through which we listen to anything else. Because remember, he's really powerful. He's the King of heaven. He's really innocent. He's never done anything wrong. And he does really, really care for you. Now, I'm not pretending that having him in your bag and always listening to him and doing what he says is going to be easy. Sometimes that is going to be hard. He's going to say stuff that we don't agree with or that we listen to on the radio or in our podcast and we think, well, that's not what Jesus says. When that happens, when you're kind of scrolling through and you think, oh, I like that idea, or you get a thought in your own head and you're like, oh, I like that, but Jesus doesn't. Who are you going to listen to? Well, as Jesus goes to the cross, he gives us these words, listen, you know, anyone on the side of truth listens to me. He wants us to listen to him as the King. As it could look like he's weak and pathetic, he wants us to see him as the almighty king of the universe, who's perfect and cares for us more than anyone else ever could, so that we listen to him. It's going to be hard. So let's pray. Let's ask God that we would listen to him. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus, our King. Praise you that he was willing to keep walking down this road towards the cross, even though he had all the power, even though he was innocent and didn't deserve it. Thank you that he was willing to do that, to die for us, to care for us. And so, Father, would we see him as our King? Would we listen to him above all else? Would we love to hear his voice? Love to listen to him, even when it's hard. Help us, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.